We're in the middle of a great series here on the Scrum values. I love talking about the Scrum values. This episode here is on openness. We continue the deep dive, our conversation with professional Scrum trainer at Approving, Blake McMillan. In this episode, we'll learn how courage and openness are intertwined. All three of these episodes, courage, openness, and respect, are very much intertwined. We'll learn how that can help you become more agile on this episode of The Agile Within.
Welcome to the podcast that challenges you from the inside. Come be more and discover the agile within. And now here's your host, Greg Miller.
Okay, welcome back to another episode. So tip series. So again, this has been Greg, where we remind you to be more agile. Okay, welcome back to another episode. So if you've been following us, or the first episode there was on courage, we are covering the five Scrum values in the Scrum Guide. So this one is all about openness. Openness is the second value of the five. So we are working our way through that with our guest, Blake McMillan, who is a professional Scrum trainer with Improving. He teaches the PSM 1, 2, the PSPO, the PSK, and the APS. Welcome to the show, Blake.
Hey, thanks for having me back, Greg. Looking forward to this.
Yeah, I know. If you've all out there listened to the first show on courage, Blake and I discussed courage for quite a while, how it can be used with the product owner, the team, the Scrum Master. Courage is very important. And we also talked about how it kind of, you can be doing following the values at the same time and not even really know it. So this one's all about openness. So let's dive into that, Blake.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, in our talk about courage, you know, one of the things that we got into is that you can demonstrate courageousness, but you can do it in a way where you're also being vulnerable. And I think you gave us a really great example in the last episode. When you talked about how you had this conflict that was going on with the team, and you shared with them how that made you feel, and so I looked that there's that real strong kind of connection between courage and openness. And so with openness, if I was to look at what we look for in that value, as far as the Scrum Guide goes, we are looking for us to be open to new ideas, and also for us to be open amongst each other and with each other.
Yeah, exactly, totally. So when you think of openness, I know. If you're new to Scrum, or if you're not, Scrum is based on empiricism of inspection, adaptation, and transparency. Mm-hmm. Would you compare openness to transparency? And if so, how, or if not?
Yeah, absolutely. I believe that openness is a form of transparency, right? It's about us making it visible, making it clear Like, you know, what are the challenges that we're up against? What are some of the things that are stopping us from being successful, or being open about, like, even the things that are going well, right? Like, it's, I think you're absolutely right here that, that openness, is really tightly, paired up with transparency.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, as you referenced the example that I gave on the other show on courage. Yeah, openness. So I found that being open, sometimes it allows you to be vulnerable. Because if you're being open, you want to show your true emotions. And I found that going through the example that I gave, if you didn't catch the first episode, listen to the first episode there on courage. Blake and I give a couple examples of that, but being open can be the foundation for helping the team develop trust, which is the foundation, I believe, to good and healthy teams.
Yeah, absolutely. The one of the things that as we start, kind of diving into using empiricism to deal with complexity, one of the things that we look at is that with the work that we do, we have to have a high level of transparency, because if we don't, it makes inspection really super hard. In a few of the classes that I teach, we have this Dilbert cartoon. And in this Dilbert cartoon, it's one where Dilbert's friend Wally comes up to Dilbert and says, "Hey, how's your project going?" And Dilbert's like, "It is a smoking pile of disaster. It's like 12 drunken monkeys, with a jigsaw puzzle." And that's the first two. And I'm paraphrasing, so I apologize if I'm getting your stuff wrong. And then in the third panel, it shows Dilbert's boss come up and says, "So how's the project going?" And Dilbert says, "Fine."
Fine. Yes. I've seen that. Yes.
And so, like, I always use this, like, as a discussion point for us to really get into transparency. And we see that there is a lack of transparency. There is a lack of openness. And that's also a great thing for us to dig into. What causes a lack of openness? What is it that usually people are, if they're not going to be open, why? What do you think, Greg?
Well, yeah, I have a great example. So before I got into Agile, before I knew what it was, I was in management for a company for a couple different positions, and I reported directly to the COO, who was unlike anybody I've ever reported to before. It was hard to put my finger on, but he was pretty much hard driving, expected results, right? So as you were saying that, this came to my mind right away. I was thinking, you know what? And I saw another woman on my team do this in our weekly staff meetings. Hmm. He would ask her, how are things going? Just like you said. And she would say, everything was roses and sunshine and blah, 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 blah. And we're doing this and this, this, because I think, cause he was intimidating. He had this look on his face and he would be very intimidating. I would be afraid of him too sometimes. So, but then I heard him talk when she was not in the room about the same sub she had left or something. And he said to the rest of us, he was like, "I want to know what's really going on. I want to know, I know there's issues. I want to know the issues." So that told me that he had this intimidating exterior, and she was telling him everything was going well because she thought that's what he wanted to hear, because he expected results. So she was afraid to tell him the truth. But in reality, he really wanted to know the problems because he really wanted to help. So when I think of being openness is, I'm afraid to be open with this person because if I tell him that things are messed up and going to pot, like your Dilbert cartoon, what's going to be the consequences for me? Am I going to lose my job? Is he going to be mad at me? is he going to think I don't have a handle on this or what's going to happen? That's kind of how I felt. So I think that it's, and this is the COO, as I mentioned, it's the culture, the tone that they set. He inadvertently, I think, was setting the tone by some of his, the look on his face. And then we can go down a whole, you know, whole rabbit hole of emotions and all this stuff. He would walk around with this look on his face and he would, you know, people were afraid of him. And I think he liked that kind of, but he wasn't getting the openness he desired. And I've been around enough companies where I've seen people like this in situations like, I think that is what prevents openness. People at the heart of it, my belief is people are afraid to be open because they're afraid to show that they may not always know what they're doing. And we know that that's agile. It's okay to fail. That's another subject too, right? We know it's okay to fail and be vulnerable. That's why I love this side of agile so much, the mindset, the behaviors, because if you don't get this, you're missing, in my opinion, you're missing most of it. So.
Yeah. When you were talking that there was a word or, you know, and there's two words kind of go together that came up multiple times, afraid, fear, afraid. Right. And so like that is very, you know, I think very common. And it's one of the things that, that I see, you know, when I'm coaching or when I'm serving as a scrum master, or even, you know, even there have been rare times that I've even seen it when I'm serving as a product owner, when I'm talking with my stakeholders and they're like, you don't understand. If we don't get this, if we don't get this thing at this time, I'm going to get chewed out. Like I'm going to get in trouble because I haven't delivered on the objectives that I said I would this year. And so that's one of the things that I think we have to actively combat is the idea that fear is useful in the workplace. And man, there's so many people that I've worked with that have done such a great job of exposing when that's happening and really showing folks in leadership the penalty that they face in delivering results because people are scared, because people are afraid. Mm-hmm. You know, you talked about how, like, you know, when we look at, you know, agile or, you know, doing things in a more agile way, that we become more comfortable with failure. We become more comfortable with, hey, I'm going to do this. And, oh, it actually didn't happen. Where like in some of the more, you know, older traditional models, like, oh, well, then if you failed, you're a failure.
Yeah.
And we want to get totally away from that, especially if we're doing complex work. The idea that we can predict the future is craziness.
Yeah.
And so I think it's one of those things that it's definitely worth us exploring is the penalty that we have for our teams and in our organization when people don't feel safe to be open. Because if they don't feel safe and they can't be open, well, then how are you actually going to know where you are? How are you actually going to know the true state of the work if we're so busy trying to cover up and make it where people don't see our failures?
Yeah, exactly. I have to admit, this is the failure piece is one that I still struggle with. And, and I have... there's been multiple times where I've gotten to the point where I'm telling my leadership, you know what, let's let it fail. Mm-hmm. Let it fail. I mean, they're not the ones where the project's not riding on them, but I'm just saying, you know what, I've never been anywhere where it's actually failed. We've learned the hard lesson. And most companies are too afraid. There's that word again. To fail to that extent, but maybe I'm misguided in saying that, let a big project fail or miss a deadline or something like that. Right. But yeah, I mean, this is, the more we dive into this, the more it's really, there's this, I think we hit on something. I mean, that's the, if you're in a waterfall culture right now, I mean, I was in it one time and never want to do it again. I was in a PMO and it wasn't fun. No communication, no openness, no one knew what was going on. But then I was expected to know what was going on, but nobody else knew what was going on. So everyone threw each other under the bus and pointing fingers when things go wrong because they know, right? Someone's going to be the scapegoat, right? Someone's going down. And sometimes it might mean people's jobs. It gets that bad. I know.
Right. Yeah. And as Scrum Masters, like that's one of the ways that we serve our organization is by challenging the status quo, right? And challenging the status quo and helping our leadership understand that because this is the way the culture is, this is the price that you pay. Yeah. Because people are afraid to be honest about being, I don't know, behind on a deadline or feeling overworked. Like, you know, I think in our last episode, you talked about, some developers you were working with, you know, working 50 or 60 hours or something like that, which is just feels like an unsustainable pace. But if we can be open about fatigue, if we can't be open about the fact that like, hey, when I'm here all this time doing all this stuff, my quality suffers. Or, you know, I feel like, you know, because I'm working so many hours, I'm not really connecting with my family. I don't feel like I feel burnt out. When we're not open about these things, you will pay a price, period. Yeah. And so that to me is kind of how we position ourselves to really like share the value of openness is that there's a direct result on our effectiveness of delivering results and outcomes.
Yeah. And I think the more I think through this and I'm thinking the places I've been, this is the one area that is going to take a while to get through. I'm just thinking when you talked about, I do have a team right now and I've it's the culture. I brought it up on a call last week with stakeholders, directors, that level. And I said, people on my team right now are working 50, 60 hours a week and we need to stop that. And no one said a word. And afterwards, talked to my manager and she, not that she doesn't agree with me, but it's kind of like no one said anything because that's the way it is around here. And I'm trying to protect the team. I'm not used to having team members work that many hours and they've been doing it for so long, years I've been told. And it's like, they're used to it. And I don't want them to get used to it. I know they might be used to it. And that's not good though. I mean, something's suffering, right? And they've decided, this is the way my life is. I'm just going to deal with this, right? Because I want to stay at this job and I want to just keep doing that. But,
this is a really great point about our influence as Scrum Masters. Many times people think of Scrum Masters. Oh yeah, Scrum Masters. They're at the team level, right? So they're just there to set up events and meetings and build charts and all this other kind of stuff. And I'm like, well, I mean, yeah, you could have someone do that stuff and call them a Scrum Master, but you know what I look at is as a Scrum Master, one of our accountabilities is to enact Scrum the way it's described in the Scrum Guide. And so what we look at is are there things, are there impediments that are stopping our team from being the best that we know that they can be? And so, you know, this thing that you're talking about, people being afraid, this is one of our tools is we make stuff visible, right? We use transparency to our advantage to show, hey, you know what? Can we just try an experiment like where we're going to let people be open and we're not going to penalize them for it? You know, is there just one place where we could try this out and then see what's the impact? What is the effect when we start making changes where people can be more open. People are not afraid. And this is not easy stuff. And this is not team level stuff. This is, this is how we change the organization. It's how we change the culture as Scrum Masters.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like you said, I take it as more than the team. It's change agent, without the whole organization too. We serve the organization, right? Like you were just talking about there. I feel everywhere I've ever been as a Scrum Master, I have always had interaction with directors and VPs. Usually on, IT side, but that's been just building relationship, getting to know them. But on the business side, more so stakeholder side, where they're not maybe as, they're more resistant. So I've dealt with more of the resistors at the director level, VP level, and tried to help them understand things like this with, you know, varying degrees of success. Have I always been successful? No, absolutely not. I just felt, you know, I'm very transparent. I think I'm a very transparent person. I like to think that even though I'm an introvert, I do wear my emotions on my sleeve at times and tell you how I'm really feeling. That's just the way I am by nature. Maybe I don't always say it the right way or the politically correct way. You were talking about yourself. You just shoot from the hip. I'm kind of like that. I don't always plan what I'm going to say, but it comes out. And sometimes, you know, people say, you know, the way you said that was a little bit, I was like, well, okay, but I just had to get it out, right?
So it sounds like we're also talking about a future episode that's going to be talking about respect.
I will throw that in there. I'm always respectful. I'm just saying, I may show frustration a little too much and maybe a little bit of anger at times because I'm so passionate sometimes. I do get so passionate. I can get worked up about a topic. And when I'm talking about it, I've had to talk with managers and had the hard conversations and be open with them. But I've always found, again, back to the courage, that if you rip that Band-Aid off and are open and you do it in a polite way, a respectful way, most people will receive it well. And especially with a team, you're dealing with a team, you're open, you be open with your team and show your vulnerability, they're likely going to be open back.
Yeah. You know, and as we again, think of openness in the context of empiricism, you know, a lot of times when I think of empiricism, I think about like medical science, right? Like, so yeah. the way that doctors, how we want our doctors, you know, to be transparent. And like, if we went to the doctor and we said, so how do my tests look? And they're like, you know, everything's fine. But really what's going on is our cholesterol is off the charts. And like, we are in, you know, danger of having, you know, some type of negative thing happen to us because of that. Like, our doctor's lack of openness puts us at risk. And that's the same thing, right? If our developers and our Scrum team are unable to be open about the complexity of what they're working on, because, you know, there's many times when, you know, we'll have our stakeholders ask for something and they're like, yeah, it's just simple. It's just, you know, bickety bam. We just change it like that. Right.
Yeah.
And our developers are like, well, yeah, like, I get where you would think that because of the way that you see it in our system, but it's not just that. And also, there are so many things that touch that when we change it, there is so much work that we're going to have to do to make sure that we don't break other stuff within the system. And so many times our stakeholders don't understand the complexity. And so when our developers are, you know, they struggle with being open because they feel pressure, again, that's where that fear comes in as a tax. And so I think that that openness is one way that that Scrum teams actually can build trust. And I think that's a very key element to us, you know, using empiricism effectively, is increasing the levels of trust. And that, you know, that's a big thing in improving as well, you know, is we want to increase the levels of trust. And I believe that openness is one way we do that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, as you're saying that, I definitely, you were talking about the doctor, we'll leave it with this. So I had a doctor that I had stopped taking my cholesterol medicine. You hit it right on the head. Because I think, you know, I can lower it with diet and exercise. And okay, because I have a history in my family, and I've my medicine was working really well. My mom's not a big fan of it herself, so I was like, okay, so I guess she kind of talked. So I stopped taking it, came back from my yearly physical, and like you said, it was through the roof. My doctor was very respectful, but I also left there feeling like I got chewed out, but I didn't. He was very firm, and he said, Greg, listen, you got to take this. And he told me an example of, I was out with a friend one night, and I was eating my fish and everything, my plain fish and my plain potato and my vegetables, and he was eating a burger and everything, and he goes home and he has a heart attack. And he almost died. He went to the hospital, and he wasn't taking his, and I had been telling him to take his medicine. So I got scared, and I'm like, okay, yeah, you're right. So yeah, but you're right. Had he not said that, and be like, oh yeah, just go ahead and keep trying. You know, yeah, it's a little high, but keep trying your exercise. It maybe it'll work, right? Maybe it'll work, but maybe it won't. Maybe it's going to keep going high, and you're going to die of a heart attack. And he was open with me. You're exactly right. So, doctor, if you're out there listening, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I'm alive today, right? All my cholesterol medicine, it's under 200, so it's doing well. Yes, I appreciate that. So great. Yeah, thanks, Blake. This has been, again, part two on the five-part series of the Scrum Values. This has been about openness with our guest, Blake McMillan, professional Scrum trainer with Improving. Again, Blake teaches the PSM 1-2, the Professional Scrum Product Owner, the Professional Scrum Kanban, and the APS. I took my class through Blake, as I mentioned before. It was really, really good. I highly recommend it. So this has been the end of part two here on openness. This has been Greg. Thank you for joining us. Once again, please reach out to me. GregMiller@theagilewithin.com is my email, with suggestions, tips, comments, anything like that. I always like to interact. If you have any show comments, please let me know. I'm always looking for new content here. So reach me on social media, Facebook. I am on Twitter. I am on Instagram, all that stuff, theagilewithin.com, and reach me on LinkedIn, Gregory Miller. So thanks for joining us. This has been the second part series on openness. This has been Greg at The Agile Within. We'll remind you to be more agile.